You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were a child of wrath. You were without hope, without God in the world. And so it was only through God's calling you to Himself that you became a beneficiary of Christ as your representative. By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus.
Welcome to The Word Unleashed with Tom Pennington. Tom is pastor teacher at Countryside Bible Church in Southlake, Texas. Hi there, I'm Bill Wright. Today we continue in Tom's series, Hold Fast. The Bible teaches that every Christian is in union with Christ. This great theological reality has many application points. As Christians, our union with Christ encourages and promotes sanctification, which is a slow and steady increase in holiness and Christ-likeness. Our union with Christ is never meant to produce idleness or indifferent behavior. Rather, it motivates us to pursue more and more being like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What about you, friend? Are you pursuing sanctification? Do you desire to be more like Christ? Consider those questions carefully as Tom Pennington begins today's study now here on The Word Unleashed.
To be in Christ means we enjoy, first of all, the benefit of His continual presence. Secondly, to be in Christ means that we enjoy the benefit of a special, unique, intimate relationship that is above all other relationships, that can only be compared at a human level to the best of human marriages. A third benefit we enjoy that helps us understand the nature of our union with Christ is a relationship with Christ in which He is our personal representative. This is really absolutely foundational to understanding our union with Christ and to understanding how God sees us. By an act of divine reckoning, God permanently considers Christ to stand in your place to be your representative. That is one sense in which you are in Christ. He is your representative. Whatever Christ is, God sees you as. Whatever Christ does, God sees you as having done. Now, the closest example that we can get to this at a human level is here in our country, representative government. We choose representatives. Well, we kind of choose them. We don't always get to choose the ones we want, but we do choose them. And then we reap the benefits of their good and wise decisions when they make them, and we suffer the consequences of their poor decisions. They act as our representatives with the rest of the world. The same is true in the spiritual dimension, except we didn't choose our representatives spiritually. God chose them. Who was the first representative God chose for every one of us? Adam. We were, as Paul describes in Romans 5, in Adam. That was your union before Christ. You were united to Adam. He was your representative. He stood in your place. He made the decisions for you, and you reaped the consequences of His decision. You were considered guilty because of Adam's choice. You received the moral pollution that passed down through Adam's descendants. You suffer because of what Adam did. Oh, and by the way, we would have done the same thing. Don't be too hard on Adam. You say, well, how do you know I would have done the same thing? Because you do it every day, and so do I. You choose to rebel against God. That's what Adam did. And so he served as our representative. God chose Adam to be that. 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die. But for those on whom God set His eternal love, God gave us a new representative. He gave us Christ. Christ is a perfect representative. 1 Corinthians 15:22 goes on to say, in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. You know, Christ became your representative, began to represent you in eternity past. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. John Murray writes, those who will be saved were not even contemplated by the Father in the ultimate counsel of his predestinating love apart from union with Christ. They were chosen in Christ. As far back as we can go in tracing salvation to its fountain, we find union with Christ. It is not something tacked on. It's there from the outset. In the mind of God, you have been connected to Christ as your representative from eternity past. And of course, that intensified when Christ became one of us and lived here on earth among us. Throughout the earthly life of Christ, God considered him to be the perfect representative of us in the same way that Adam was a terrible representative for us. So all that Christ did while he was on earth, God counted it as if you did it. Let's take the death of Christ. You get credit for his death. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul writes, in him we have redemption through his blood, that is through his death, the forgiveness of our trespasses. It was through our union with Christ that our sin could be justly credited to him and God could judge him for our sins on the cross. It was also because of our union with Christ that we can receive his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. How? In him. Just as we are united with him in his death, we are also united with him in his burial, in his resurrection. Turn over to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Do you not know? Don't you get it? All of us who have been baptized, immersed into Christ Jesus, have been immersed into his death. You're connected with him in his death. Therefore, we've also been buried with him through baptism into death. By the way, there's no water in this passage. Baptism pictures the spiritual reality, but he's talking about spiritual realities. You were united with Christ. When Christ was on the earth, when he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried with him. This is how God thinks of it, because he was your representative. And notice verse 5, for if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Our old self was crucified with him. And verse 11, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that because Christ was your representative, when Christ died, in the mind of God, you died with him. The old person that you were paid the penalty that you deserved to pay. You died. You suffered with Christ the wrath of God on the cross because he was your representative. When he was buried, when he was raised from the dead, you were raised to new life. This is what baptism does picture. What are baptism pictures? Our being united with Christ. We died. We were raised to new life. We've even been enthroned with him in heaven. You ascended with Christ and were seated with him on the throne of God because he's your representative. Ephesians 2:6 says, the Father seated us with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, you were united with Christ as he accomplished the work of redemption 2,000 years ago. He was your representative. And because of that, God sees you as having lived his perfect life of obedience. How can God credit you with the righteousness of Christ? It's because he was your representative, and so you were in him. God sees you as having endured and satisfied his just wrath against your sin because Christ did as your representative on the cross. I love Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those, what? Who are in Christ Jesus. Because Christ was raised to new life, the Father sees you as having been raised to new life. His punishment is your punishment. His resurrection, your resurrection. His righteousness, your righteousness. Now, when Christ left this earth, he had earned all of those blessings of salvation for you. He had been your representative, but they still have to be personally applied. Until you came to faith in Christ, Paul says in Ephesians 2, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were a child of wrath. You were separate from Christ. You were without hope, without God in the world. And so it was only through God's calling you to himself, regenerating your heart, that you became a beneficiary, really and personally, of Christ as your representative. That's when it was applied to you. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. You are united to him as your representative. Think about this, Christian. God never, ever sees you apart from your representative. And so he sees you as having done exactly what Christ did and as being exactly what Christ is at a human level. Now, there's another benefit that describes our union with Christ, and that is what we could call a vital connection. A vital connection. That is a life-giving connection. Scripture pictures this for us in several ways. Let me just give you the images. I won't take the time to turn there, but just to remind you of them. First of all, Scripture describes our connection to Christ as that of a cornerstone or foundation and the stones that are built on that foundation. Christ being the foundation, us being the building or the stones. Ephesians 2, 1 Peter 2. The picture here is that Christ is the source of our stability just as a cornerstone and a foundation is the source of a building's stability. He provides the strength for our lives, the stability for our lives, the foundation of our Christian lives. Secondly, there's the image of Christ as a vine, or we could say the trunk of a vine, and believers as the branches, John 15. In John 15, 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know what Christ is saying? Our spiritual life is sustained by our connection to Christ. Our spiritual growth, our spiritual fruit flows to us from Christ. It is a vital connection. A third image that Scripture uses is of Christ as the head and us as the body. You get this image. It's in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians 4. Just as your head gives directions and orders to your body, Christ is connected to us in the same way. Sever the head and the body loses its capacity to function in its very life. Now, there's a danger with these illustrations. And that is for you to choose one of them and make that explain the entirety of our relationship to Christ. It's only together that they round out our understanding. The point is, this union to Christ, this connection to Christ, is not an experience to be sought. It is a reality to be understood. If you're a Christian, you are spiritually united to Christ in these ways. Robert Raymond, speaking of this vital connection to Christ, where we get our life from him, our spiritual strength, writes this. I love this. Scriptures make it clear that though it is spiritual, this non-material union with Christ is as real as though there were in fact a literal umbilical cord uniting them, reaching all the way from Christ in heaven to the believer on earth. That's a perfect picture. Just like that umbilical cord in the womb of a mother brings her life and sustains the life of that child. Everything that child needs comes to that child through the umbilical cord. In the same way, we are united to Christ, really, spiritually, and his life is what sustains our spiritual lives. The reason you still believe, the reason you grow, the reason there's any spiritual fruit in your life whatsoever is because of Jesus Christ. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing, spiritually speaking. Now, because of that vital connection, that life-giving connection, being in Christ comes with a host of rich spiritual benefits. In fact, it includes all the aspects of our redemption. It's only because you're united to Christ that the work of Christ can be applied to you. According to Ephesians 1:3, every spiritual blessing you enjoy is in Christ. Your spiritual life is sustained, it's strengthened through your connection to Christ. Now, I don't have time to develop them, but let me just give you a short list of the blessings that are yours because you are in Christ. This is what the Scriptures teach. First of all, grace. 1 Corinthians 1:4, grace is given to us in Christ. Regeneration, Ephesians 2:10, we were created in Christ Jesus. Justification, 2 Corinthians 5:21, we received the righteousness of God in Him. Pardon and forgiveness, Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption and forgiveness. Sanctification, 1 Corinthians 1:30, you are in Christ who became to us sanctification. 2 Timothy 1:1, eternal life is in Christ. The fact that you will never be separated from God's love. Romans 8, verse 39, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. Unity with other Christians. Galatians 3:28, we are one body in Christ. The security of God's promises to you. In 2 Corinthians 1:19, His promises are yes in Christ. Grace to live the Christian life. 2 Timothy 2:1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. When you die in Christ, and you are still in Christ, even though your body is in the grave. In 1 Thessalonians 4:14, we hear of the dead in Christ. Those who've gone before you, who've died, who are in Christ, listen, they are still in Christ. We will be resurrected in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Christ shall all be made alive. We will be glorified in Christ. Romans 8:17, we will be glorified with Him. Folks, what could be more practical to your Christian life than your union to Jesus Christ? It encompasses everything from election in eternity past to glorification in eternity future and everything between. Why? Because God never thinks of you. God never thinks of you apart from your union to Jesus Christ. And He will never treat you differently, therefore, than He would treat Jesus Christ. There's an old illustration of this truth. If you put a piece of paper into a book and close the book, however you treat the book is how you treat the piece of paper. If you treasure the book, you treasure the piece of paper. And when you look, you don't see the paper, you see the book. That's how it is with our relationship to Jesus Christ. When God looks on us, He sees us as in Christ. And He treats us as if we were Christ Himself. Now the practical use of our union with Christ is immense. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts in application. Understanding our union with Christ, first of all, provides security in the gospel. So many people struggle with assurance of their faith. Even though they have repented of their sins, they put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're pursuing holiness, they're trying to walk in obedience, they still struggle with doubts and assurance. Listen, do you understand what Paul says in Ephesians 2? That you are seated with Christ in heaven. It's certain, it's secure. Michael Barrett writes, one of the greatest advantages that union with Christ provides us is the profound sense of assurance and security flowing from the knowledge that God deals with us only and always in terms of Christ. Will God ever successfully allow Christ to be accused and condemned? Of course not. Then He will never allow those who are in Christ to be accused successfully and condemned, because you are in Christ. Secondly, our union with Christ encourages and promotes our sanctification. This doesn't cause you to say, well, I'm in Christ, I can live however I want. No, not at all. The absolute opposite is true. Here's how John puts it in 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6. By this we know that we are in Him. How do you know if you're really in Christ? The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. If you're in Christ, you know what? You want to be like Him. You want to live like He lived. You want to think like He thought. You want to honor God like He honored God. There's a great illustration I mentioned earlier in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15, where Paul applies the reality of our union with Christ to our to the issue of sexual sin. Very appropriate in our day. Paul says, listen, really? You want to take Christ, who is ever with you, who is united with you, who is in you? You want to take Him and do that? You want to sit in front of that computer screen and watch things you shouldn't watch when you are in Christ, when He is with you? Encourages and promotes our sanctification. Thirdly, our union with Christ is crucial. And this is related but slightly different. It's crucial in overcoming the power of sin in a daily way in our lives. Back to John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. What kind of fruit's he talking about there? Well, he's using an agricultural metaphor. And we know one basic law of fruit in agriculture is what? Each bears fruit after its own kind. He's talking here about likeness to Christ. The branches bear the same fruit as the vine. So in other words, when you're connected to Jesus Christ, His energy, His strength, His grace flows to you in the daily battle with sin, so that you can every day be putting sin to death and be putting on Jesus Christ. And if you understand that, it revolutionizes your approach to the daily struggle with sin. Jesus Himself in that metaphor and in that context in verse 5 of John 15 says, and apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. What's He talking about? Bearing fruit. Being like Him. You can't move one step closer to being like Jesus Christ apart from His energy, His work, His power. It's because you're in Him that those things are available to you. A fourth fruit of this in our lives, understanding our union with Christ, fills us with praise. This is where Paul goes at the beginning of Ephesians. Ephesians 1:3. He says, blessed be God. Praise to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in Christ. When you really understand what is yours because of your union with Jesus Christ, because of His continual presence, because of your vital connection, because of that special relationship, because of the reality of His power in your life, because He is your representative. When you get that, when you understand that, it fills you with praise because of all that Christ has done and is doing in your life. Beloved, hold fast to the forgotten truth that we are in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for neglecting such a crucial, vital part of the Christian faith. The very center of our salvation, of all that You're doing, is this reality. And yet, Father, we have failed to understand it. We failed to study it. We failed to live in the light of it. We failed to apply it to our thinking day in and day out about our relationship to You. Father, remind us of these truths in the weeks and months ahead. May we never be the same for having come to understand our union with Jesus Christ, that we are in Him. And Father, I pray for those who may be here today who don't get it, who just don't understand, who aren't interested. Lord, help them to see that's because their eyes are blinded to the truth, because they're spiritually dead, unable to respond. And may they come to You putting their faith in Christ, and then find that You put them in Christ. We pray this would be the day, in Jesus' name, amen.
That's Tom Pennington here on The Word Unleashed with part 12 of his series, Hold Fast. Tom will have part 13 for you on our next program. We hope you'll join us then. But Tom, could you give us some final thoughts about what it means for believers to be in union with Christ?
Bill, it is impossible to overstate this. The believer's union with Christ is at the center, the heart of the Christian faith. I could say it like this. Our union with Christ is the foundation of all of our spiritual experience and all our spiritual blessings. Sadly, this great doctrine has been largely forgotten. That's why I wanted to address it in this series. As Christians, the practical benefits of this doctrine are immense. It helps us fight sin, helps us grow in sanctification. It assures us of salvation. It promotes our praise and worship of God. My prayer is that we would never forget this doctrine, but we would truly hold fast to the great truth of our union with Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Tom. The Word Unleashed is made possible because of the prayers and financial gifts of individuals like you. Please consider partnering with us. You can find out how to do so by visiting us online at The Word Unleashed. And now for Tom Pennington and the entire team, I'm Bill Wright. Thanks for listening to The Word Unleashed, exalting God's glory, explaining God's truth.